And if you didn't get all that or understand that, I'm sure you can catch her in the back and she'll explain it to you all again. So it is good to be here. If you open the insert into your bulletin, you'll notice this next Sunday, we're going to have a worship service concert here with Justin Todd Herrett. Tammy and I had the privilege of meeting him many years ago in Burney, Texas, and he's a very talented, gifted by God. He's a godly man, and he loves the Lord, and it emanates in his singing. And we're very fortunate to have him come this next Sunday. Hopefully, it'll be an annual thing for us. I will tell you, we'll have it worked out pretty quick. I got to talk to Sheila Hooker again this week, but Jake is going to come back and do a service for us as well after the first of the year. But you're going to be blessed by Justin. I will tell you, the House of Hope will be here, and we're going to use this as an opportunity for them. We'll have a potluck afterwards and ask people to make those contributions to the House of Hope so we can bless them. And so we are really looking forward to that. I'm going to do an interview I hope to call, it's 105.1 in Madisonville. I think that's KMVL. So tomorrow morning at 8:00, and they invited me to come and speak, and I think they want to be informed about the church and our worship service next week and all that we're doing. So 8:00 tomorrow morning, we'll do that on 105.1 in Madisonville. If you're not aware, April Smith passed away this last week, and the services are going to, we sent out an email, but if you weren't aware, the services are going to be, there'll be a visitation at Callaway Jones on Monday night from 6 to 8. The service will be also at Callaway Jones at 10:00 on Tuesday, and then the family is going to have a meal here from 10 to 3, and I'm sure if you'd like to stop by and just visit with them while they're here, Ben, they would just absolutely be blessed by that. So, again, I know we sent out an email, but I want you to be aware of that. Continue to keep the Sebastians in your prayers. You know, it's just been, and it's going to be a very difficult time for a very long time. And so I keep them in your prayers, and so much to be prayerful for and so much to be thankful for as well. But I know that the Lord hears our voice, and so just encourage you to keep those in need in your prayers. So, on your sermon handout, you're actually going to get 2 weeks from now a much more elaborate one, and it has to do with this morning's message. But we have been in this introductory statement in the book of Colossians, so I ask you to go to Colossians chapter 1, and it is the introductory statement that Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing this letter to the Christians that are in Colossae. It's one of his prison epistles, and I want you to think of these first 12 verses. We're only going to go through really verse 8 this morning, emphasizing 2 points there, but I have been mentioned over the last several weeks that if you were to just look at the first 12 verses in the book of this book to the Colossians, you would see a biblical diagram of the person and the works and the promises of God concerning the Holy Spirit. The influence in Paul's writing in this introductory statement is just, it's Holy Spirit 101. And so I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard, and I'm going to ask you to highlight, if you do that in your Bible, I'm going to ask you to highlight certain words this morning. We're going to do a contrast. We're going to do a contrast between the carnal, the earthly, the worldly, based upon this opening text here, this introductory text, and we'll contrast that, highlighting words in this opening statement, with the spiritual and the spiritual and the biblical, versus the carnal and the worldly. So, but just highlight these words. I'm going to read through verse 8. So, verse 1, Paul, an apostle. Again, this is New American Standard. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. And so verse 3, we give. Just highlight the two words, we give. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith. So the word since. So verse 3, we give the word since. Verse 4, your translation may not say that. The New American Standard says since. The verse 4 begins with since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. And then you would highlight, if you have a New American Standard, verse 5, because. So verse 3, we give. Verse 4, since. Verse 5, because of the hope, you would highlight hope, laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which, so you would highlight the word which, verse 6. So again, we give, since, verse 4, because, verse 5, verse 6, which has come to you just in all the world. Also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. And now verse 7, just. So these are the opening words in each of these verses. So in the New American Standard, again, just, you would highlight that, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ Jesus on our behalf, who is a faithful bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And then verse 8, and he also informed. So you could highlight informed of us of your love in the Spirit. So those first 8 verses. So I have mentioned in previous weeks, and I'm going to do this opening part very quickly, that as far as the spiritual, the Holy Spirit truths in Scripture, the tenets of the Holy Spirit that are taught in the Holy Scripture, you know, the Scripture says that we have been promised by God to be sealed by and with the Holy Spirit. So we're sealed. It's a promise from God with the Holy Spirit. We're taught that the love of God is poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit, Romans in chapter 5. We're taught in Acts, the second chapter of Acts, that we are given the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is given to us according to the promise of God. We're sealed with that. We can be grieved by the Holy Spirit. It can guide, lead, and teach us. It does. And we can certainly grieve the Holy Spirit. So, but if you start then to look at the personal implications of that, and how does it manifest itself in your life? You know, we're spiritual beings. We have a soul, but if you're a Christian, you are a spiritual being. The love of God was poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. It guides, leads, teaches us, and we can grieve it again. So in this opening statement, I want to challenge you this morning we're going to look at both sides. We're going to look at what a spiritual, biblical, heavenly influence looks like in the life of a person versus the carnal, worldly, earthly, how that looks. So we're in our flesh, and our flesh is carnal, and it's earthly, and it's worldly. As a Christian, given the Holy Spirit, sealed, spiritual, contrast that, the spiritual, the heavenly, and the biblical, against the carnal, earthly, and worldly, with this opening statement. So, as I've said before, as we've gone through this series, verse 1, the most important thing that needs to happen, the most important thing that needs to happen in our lives as God has saved us and given us the gift of the Holy Spirit is that we need to know who we're of and by the will of who or what. So Paul would say, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You should know that. You should be able to confidently say about yourself that I am of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And then knowing that, that should be foundational in what, how you think and the way you approach life and your worldview. Knowing who you're of by the will of establishes. Now, contrast that. That's the spiritual. And then I'm going to go through this list very quickly. So many of us, and really from the time we're born in our flesh, if you just had to make one statement, you would say, I'm of me by my will. I'm of me by my will. That's who I am. And then you continue reading, and remember I told you to highlight those words. You know who he is? Of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Contrast that, of me by my will, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks. So based upon who you are, the second thing always happens. It's a domino effect, carnal or spiritual. It determines who and what we give stuff to. Who we give ourselves to and who we give stuff to. I asked the boys this morning, again, I said, think of the last time you gave something to someone and why? And they good answers. We're influenced about what we give and who we give stuff to. Now, the carnal person, what does he do? I mean, the carnal person says, I'm of me by my will. And what I give and who I give it to depends on what? What does it depend upon? It depends upon my inner circle. My inner circle has limits. Well, what do you mean? So if I'm going to give you my time, finances, emotions, whatever, in my flesh, as a carnal individual, I have limits to what I'll give. I have a list. I'm going to give this person more time, energy, stuff, whatever, in my flesh, based upon what? Many times, just because it's the way it makes me feel good, or I'll reciprocate. The Bible, Jesus even talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. It's easy for us to give things to people that, we know we're going to get something back in turn. Many times in our flesh, our giving is just selfish. What am I going to get in return? Or I give because I have been given to with a limit by somebody else who is in the flesh. It's just what it is. So based upon who I am of, by the will of, it determines what I give and who I give. That's what it does. What's the third thing? So we keep reading, and then we get down to this verse. So we give, verse 3, verse 4, sense. So I'm of me by my will. That's who I am. And I give according to my circle of influence, and it has limitations. It has limitations. Even my forgiveness. I mean, Peter said, well, how many times should I forgive somebody? 7 times? I said, that's pretty good. And he said, no. 70 times 7. Oh, okay. So, and Peter, he's trying to be spiritual. And so he's trying to figure it out, but at least he was honest. Listen, I want to increase my limitations in my giving, i.e. forgiving, but I think even that has a limit. Well, scripturally, we don't, and we can't. But that's just that picture. So I'm of me by my will, and I give to my circle of influence. It's limited, it's selfish, it's carnal. And since what? Since. Now, there's the spiritual side, but think about that word since. So what do? Well, I did this, or I'll do this, since this. Well, I'll do this since you did this to me, good and or bad. I'll do this since whatever the circumstances in my life demand of it. Big word there, New American Standard, since. So we'll keep going down this carnal list. So that's the since. And then we get down to verse 5, because. So I'm of me by my will. I give to my inner circle of influence. since the circumstances kind of demand that, because of one word. So if you want to, if you're doing any kind of counseling at all, and somebody comes into your whatever, as you're, maybe you're a friend, a trusted friend, maybe you're a minister, but you're struggling with something. And one of the great biblical tenets, a spiritual tenet that you learn in ministerial counseling, was as somebody comes to you and they start, well, you know, this is going on and I'm struggling here and I don't understand this and this is just so aggravating and all this thing, you should ask one question. First question you ought to ask. After you've listened, this should be the question. Because it's the center of everything of who we are. And that is, what are you hoping the outcome will be? What are you hoping for? What's your hope concerning, what is it you're hoping for? Now that is the, you, if you'll just be honest with yourself, in the carnal, in the flesh, we're all driven by hope. Just think about it. What do you hope today? What are you hoping for today? Maybe you're hoping that the preacher's sermon is short. Maybe you're hoping to get a good lunch, a meal. Maybe you're hoping to get some time to rest. Spend some time with friends. Maybe you're hoping something terrible is taking place in your life and you just want it to go away. And maybe you're hoping for reconciliation. Just ask yourself, in your life right now today, what are you hoping for? Because it's a central driving theme in our life. And there's this domino effect. There's a spiritual domino effect. There's a carnal domino of flesh. And again, I'm just going to repeat this. I'm of me by my will. I give, and I give according to this limited circle of influence in my life based upon my carnal needs, wants, and desires. The circumstances in my life dictate it because I'm hoping for something. You can do that in the carnal. I'm of me by my will. I give according to these circumstances. This is the sense in my life, this is going on, it's carnal, and because I'm hoping. Hope is a huge driving force behind manipulation. Whatever our hopes are will determine how we'll manipulate a situation in the carnal and in the flesh. It's driven by a carnal, earthly desire. My hopes, you can put all of this on a scale. What are your hopes? And be honest with yourself. Christianity demands, the scripture demands that we look ourselves in the mirror. And the one thing, if you want to start to get to the center of who you are in Christ or in the flesh, ask yourself, be honest. Spend an hour. Say, what are my hopes? Well, I hope oh so-and-so this, or I hope so-and-so. Where's that hope coming from? Because what we hope for, the because of what we hope for, is based upon that. We carry around the world of spiritual warfare and in the mind, the battlefield that in our mind and our heart, we carry around all kinds of evil thoughts, frustrations, anxiety. All of it is tied to who we are, of who we are, and the will of who we are, and what we give, and the sense, and the because, and it's all tied to the hopes that we have in life. Every person in this room has a hope for something. The youngest to the oldest there's some things that you're hoping for in your life. So there we go. We keep going. And then verse 6, which, remember I told you, because now which, this word which. Now the carnal is going to do this. The flesh is going to always do this. I am who I am. I give what I want. Since the circumstances dictate it, it's tied to my hopes because of my hopes. Which is based upon what? The carnal is always, all those things, is always tied to what? Our vanity. It's our vanity. The which in our life is based upon the W-H-I-C-H is based upon vanity that is always diminishing. Give an example. The whole book of Ecclesiastes. The whole book of Ecclesiastes is a spiritual exercise verses, the spiritual versus the flesh, the carnal, Solomon writes it. And he says, let me tell you about everything that is carnal and fleshly and earthly. It's vanity and it's diminishing. Now, we're going to contrast this to the spiritual side in just a minute. But the witch in our life that is based upon our hopes is, it's vain and it's diminishing. We'll contrast that to the spiritual. And then verse 7. This word learned. Verse 8 is informed. Now, we'll get back to that. So now let's do the spiritual side. Now you, please, if you're a professing Christian and your desire is to honor God in all that you do, I want you to see the spiritual, biblical influence that just emanates from this lesson that comes just in this introductory statement. So there's the carnal side. Here's the spiritual side. And again, bear with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's the spiritual side versus me and my will, okay? And who does he give to? He gives to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And what does he give? Grace and peace. What are you doing? If you're a Christian and you're living of Christ by the will of God, your giving will always be what? It'll be to sanctified, faithful, spiritual family. You can't help it. People that have been saved, sanctified, made holy, you can, that's who you want to give to. And not just that, you want to give grace and peace to everyone. The flesh doesn't. The spiritual does. Next one. So since what? Verse 4, look at that, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Contrast that to the carnal. The sense in your life should always be based upon your faith in Jesus Christ. Not the circumstance. I'm doing this since this. The spiritual is, I'm doing this since I have faith in Christ Jesus. I have faith in Christ Jesus, and I have love for all the saints, all of them. It's this great, again, this spiritual domino effect, and you can measure yourself in light of these words, put them in place in your own life, and then grade yourself. Since whatever is going on in your life, how much of it has to do with your faith in Jesus Christ and the love you have for all the saints? Or how much does it have to do with the carnal? You can answer that. God knows it. So then, again, because. Now look at verse 5. Because of the hope. Now, the carnal always has what? The hope is different. But the spiritual hope is heavenly. So now ask yourself again. Of all the things that you're hoping for in your life right now, how much of any of it has to do with the heavenly? Of all your hopes right now, I hope to increase my retirement account. I hope to increase my belongings. I hope to increase, I don't know. I hope to have this. I hope to get this. I hope whatever, carnal. But the spiritual person will always be hoping for what? The hope laid up for you in heaven. How much of the things that you are hoping for, Christian, have to do, how much? Be honest. We're driven by it. Any crisis in your life, any desire in your life has to do with what you hope based upon who you are and who you give to. And the spiritual person, the because in his life, I'm doing this because I hope in heaven. I remember years ago, I was a part of a prison ministry project called the PPP, the Pilot Prison Project in Abilene, and we were asked to go on a maximum security unit for 2 years, and it was the worst of the worst inmates. Maximum security, repeat offenders, violent behavior in the prison, and there were several segments. There was a ministry group, Abilene Christian University. I had a role in it. Texas Department of Criminal Justice had a role in it. So all these different, we were coming together. And the hope for TDCJ and the hope for the psychology department was providing students as part of the counseling process was to change behavior, to cut down on recidivism, people leaving prison and coming back, and to change their behavior. The hope was we want to stop the cycle of them leaving prison and coming back, repeat offenders, and we want, we hope, that was a big word, we hope that we could change their behavior in prison. And so this had been months and months and months, actually over a year in the planning, and we're about ready to kick off the program, and we're meeting in Austin, and we had a meeting in Huntsville, and all the integers, the people from the governor's office and Abilene Christian University and the ministry programs, and we talked about this hope. I was at the end of the meeting, and I was asked, said, okay, Mr. Rogers, what is your hope? And I said this very clearly, and it was based upon this passage of Scripture. I said, well, I would hope that these guys, if they get out of prison, they don't come back, and I would certainly hope that their behavior would change in prison. But I'm only here for one reason. I'm only participating in this program for one reason, and that is I hope these individuals go to heaven. That's it. My hope for them is that they end up in heaven. That's it. Do you have any crisis in your life? You got any conflict in your life? You got any, you mad at somebody in your life? You're angry with somebody in your life? But you feel justified with your anger. You're in conflict with somebody in your life. I ask you something. Now, the carnal, the flesh, will always be driven based upon a earthly hope. Well, I hope that person just goes, I hope that person, you ever hope that somebody might die? Well, I hope they just die. I hope that person gets fired. I hope that poor, whatever it might be. That's what the carnal and the earthly and the flesh, that's pretty extreme. But what if in all your conflicts and your struggles right now, or whatever they may be, your hope was heavenly? Are your hopes for whoever or whatever's going in your life, are they heavenly? If you don't hear anything else this morning, are they? Because you, if you believe in spiritual warfare, let me tell you something. Satan, the last thing he wants, the demonic, the last thing they want is for your hopes to be enveloped in anything that's heavenly. And I'm going to tell you, the influence of our flesh from a very young age, it's hard to overcome this. Our hopes and the because in our life. And then you get down there, he said, so which has come to you, the spiritual, just as in all the world also, is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, okay? And understands the grace of God and truth. The spiritual which in your life, based upon the because, is based upon the truth of the gospel. Anything in your life, if you're completing this sentence, is it, so now which, because which, is always based upon the truth of the gospel. It always bears fruit. What you're doing from in your life, whatever it is, because of whatever hope you have, something, it's the result of something which is taking place in your life. Is it bearing fruit? Is it increasing? You should be able to answer that question. On the basis of what? Your truth? Or the truth of God and the truth in the gospel. Now, verse 7, just. Here it is. Parents, if you have children, just as you learned it. Now, you could back all the way up. Let me just do this. Who you are, what you give to, since, because, which, is based upon one thing. Just as you learned it. Just as you learned it. I asked the young men this morning, I said, how do we learn? And they said, well, we learn by what we hear and we see, ultimately. We do that. Now, that's the carnal. And what about the spiritual? Parents, your children are watching you. They are. And they will know. This is what your children will know. Versus the carnal, versus the flesh. Your children will know who you are and by what will. They will. They will. Whatever strong, entitled, angry, whatever, we're really good at telling the world who we are, who we're of, and by what will. We really are. And your children are watching that. Now, conversely, church, the world's watching that. The world's watching that. Tammy and I were in Lowe's yesterday, and we went to get some poinsettias. And by the way, I got to tell you, man, we had such a great group of volunteers here yesterday, and it was a blessing to be able to put all this effort in. And but we were there, and she was getting some poinsettias, and we ran into a guy, and he and his wife just started talking to us. And I always tell you, I don't believe in coincidence. And he was telling me about the journey. They live in the Bryan-College Station area. We went to this church, and we went to this church, and this is going. And the whole time, he was describing to me the person and the personality of that congregation. He was. I learned everything I needed to know, and he's just telling me. And so it's our children, but it could be your marriage. It could be in a church. Because we're all, listen, every one of us is a direct reflection of what we have learned. Just as you learned it. Who you are, who you give to, the sense that becomes the witch in your life, all the strong, emphatic statements that you'll make. And our flesh has such a powerful, powerful influence on us, the carnal, the earthly, and the world, that we say things and we act ways that are not spiritual and they're not biblical. They're the result of something we've learned. I asked all the Stasney boys, I said, what do you hope to do today? What do you hope? I said, well, we hope, you know, they want to get a good lunch somewhere. Mom, Dad, they want to eat something good. And they hope they get to shoot their guns, you know? So where did you learn that? Why is that a hope of yours? Why? Well, because, you know, if you know anything about Mark Stasney, he owns a lot of guns. If you know anything about Paul Jenkins, they got a lot of guns. I mean, that's been a big influence in your life. And so they're equating hope and joy and fun and something to do with something they've learned. That's just one thing. You can apply it to everything in your life. And everybody's watching us. Our kids are watching us. The community at large is watching us. One of the things that breaks my heart as a preacher is that people will come to you over the years in ministry, and now they want to tell you about your congregation where you're the preacher at. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But didn't you hear? And you know what? People learning. They learning. They learning by, you know, the actions and the behavior and the attitudes of people that call themselves a church. I'm going to tell you, they learn it. This is huge. So spiritually, here's what's supposed to take place. Just as you learned it. What we have is a relationship that is generational, and it's evangelical. We're supposed to be the people, the scripture says, inasmuch as it's up to you, you be at peace with all men. That's learned. The flesh doesn't say that. The scripture says, inasmuch as it's up to you, you be at peace with all men. So nobody will have an excuse if you ain't at peace with somebody. It'll always be 100% you. Not 98%, 100% you. You got conflict with somebody, you unhappy with somebody, you in a divisive place in your life, and you're demanding your way because you're of me and my will and whatever it is, it's 100% you. And it's not spiritual. And if you, listen, Jesus said, I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save sinners. Think about that. We learn that from him. We learn, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We learn to, when somebody hits you on one cheek, to learn, turn the other one. We've learned to wash the feet of hateful, sinful, conspiring individuals. We've learned that from him. That's the spiritual and that's the biblical. And our kids, listen, if they're learning that church is important, kind of, when it's sort of, they're learning it. But as the flesh, that ain't spiritual. God don't ask much. God asks very little of you and I. But we're learning. Kids are learning. Community's learning. Your wife, your husband, they're learning. And so he says, all of this stuff, this about who we are and what we give and the which and the because and the whole, it's based upon just as you learned it from Epaphras. Now, the spiritual person is going to be doing this. This is why Bible studies are so important. Worship service is so important. Fellowship is so important. The spiritual person is going to be learning it from beloved fellow bondservants and faithful servants on behalf of someone else. What are you doing that you've learned from someone? And if you want to know if the learning is correct, you say, that person is a servant. He's a faithful servant. And what I learned from him is based upon on the behalf of others, not on the behalf of self. And then the final thing is this. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. You contrast that. See, the worldly is learning from the spirit of the carnal, earthly world. The carnal is, I've learned it from selfish, like-minded people on behalf of me and mine. I have seen churches full of that. People that sing Amazing Grace, pray, take the Lord's Supper, even serve. And they're so carnal that it becomes a community. It's so carnal that really, you can see and you learn by watching and hearing like-minded people on behalf of me and mine. It happens in the body of Christ. And it's based upon a spirit of carnal, earthly, and worldly. Now, the spiritual is always going to be based upon, the learning of the spiritual is always going to be based upon faithful servants of Christ on behalf of others. And the information, and here's the final thing, the information. Learning and information. Darrell Walker, he's in the learning and information business. You are. He's on the third floor up there, and you can't just go up there. They got his area secure, man. But it's learning and information, isn't it? Well, it's with all of us. Information. Is your information based upon love in the Spirit? That's the final question. Is your information based upon love in the Spirit? Is your information that you're sharing with other people, gossiping about, inspired by, or I'm just asking, the Scripture demands it. The Scripture demands an answer. What you've learned, who'd you learn it from? Well, my daddy. My daddy said, you tricked me once, shame on you. Tricked me twice, shame on me. Well, that's maybe what your daddy says, but that ain't what that daddy says. That's something you can learn. Trick me once, shame on you, Hannah. Trick me twice, shame on me. Well, you learned that from somebody. You didn't learn that from God and Jesus Christ. You didn't. Based upon what kind of information? Information that has more to do with the love of myself than the informed, what? Of the love in the Spirit. And if you don't know what that is, go to 1 Corinthians 13. The love in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 13. The gifts of the Spirit, the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. The love in the Spirit says, man, biblical, spiritual, godly, Christ-like, it's not arrogant, it does not boast, it is not envious, it holds no record of wrongs. There's some information. There's a spirit in love. Contrast that. We're going to have Justin Todd here next week. We're going to continue with the rest of this contrast. You'll have a very visual list of that. And then we're going to be getting by Christmas to this passage of Scripture, and I'll close here. Verse 13 in Colossians, it says, for he, God, delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He transferred us, in whom we have redemption. He redeemed us, the forgiveness of sins. And then the world celebrates the birth of a Savior in a manger. It's good. But if you want to fully understand the birth of Jesus Christ and the reason we celebrate his birth, it's right here. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's where we're headed. I hope you've been challenged this morning. And my prayer is that we all look at ourselves and we look at the influences in our life, our learning and our information, and put that in light of the spiritual, biblical, godly influence of the Scripture and his Spirit in our life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, my prayer this morning is that as we examine your word, we also examine our heart. We examine your word, we examine our heart. We examine your word, Father, and we examine our spirit. And Father, I pray that we desire more than anything, Father, that all of our learning is a shared process between faithful saints, Father, on behalf of others, and always driven, Father, always driven by the Spirit of your love. And so, Father, we ask these things this morning in the Spirit of love, in the faithful servant, in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.